Hi, everybody. We've been going through Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1 is a pretty long book of the Bible. And it's one in which you may have read before, but it's one that I don't know that we can read over and we don't really think about what's in the text. And this particular text has some profound meaning for us, particularly this time of year, but not just this time of year. It has profound meaning for our entire faith journey. And as we pursue God, what that looks like in the context of what happened. And when we often look at the nativity scene, what we see is this. But do you know that this is, from a historical perspective, it's likely this didn't happen. And it's just something that I'm not saying the birth of Christ. I'm talking about the Magi coming and being present at the birth of Christ. A lot of scholars believe that they came about 2 years after he was born and came and gave gifts and presented gifts at that point. And we have etched in our mind that right when Christ was born, they got there. But they had a long journey in order to come and arrive where Christ was. So they followed him and went to him. And Jesus and Mary, they were in, it wasn't made of wood. It was more like a cave. It was this stinky, smelly place that didn't have anything, any plumbing. It didn't have sanitation. They didn't have antibacterial wipes. So it's a little different than what we see here. The shepherds did come, though, because the shepherds were close by, and they were on a hillside, and the angels appeared to them, and they were blown away, and they go, "Whoa, I got to do what they tell me because I'm scared." And they went, and they faithfully followed after the light, and they went, and they saw Jesus. So with all that said, we're going to be talking about Mary again like we did last week. Let's pray. God, illuminate our minds to understand your deep, powerful spiritual truths. God, I ask that you allow us to be open to what you have for us today. And God, speak to us through your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Luke chapter 1, 39 through 56. So Mary's going to go visit Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is her aunt. It's an older lady and her family. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, and before we read what Mary said, what we read here, Mary is pretty deep theologically, and she knows her stuff. And some people may say that how can someone from more of a peasant background know so much about the Old Testament and the ways and God? How could they have such a deep, intimate relationship with God and know Him so well? Well, part of the culture, when you were raised as a Jewish boy or girl, you would learn songs directly from the scriptures. And you would sing those songs when you would gather together in the temple, when you would gather together in the home, when you gather together in different locations. You would sing these songs, and they had deep, powerful theological meaning. So she knew her stuff. Let's read what it says, what she says. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For now, on all occasions, will call me blessed. For for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever and ever, as He said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. That last part, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months and then returned home. You may say, why would she stay for 3 months? That's not right. I don't see how that could have played out. Well, back then, to get somewhere, the means and modes of transportation, when you went to a specific location, you typically stayed for an extended period of time. So it was a normal thing that happened in that time period. So it's not a foreign thing. But there's a number of things that I see in this text. And the first thing is that Mary's psalm of praise, it reveals her use in terminology and theology of the Old Testament. She is mindful of what the scriptures say. And not only that, she really speaks and she prays and sings this song of praise. Very similar in First Samuel chapter 2, when Hannah prays and cries out to God. And they fall very similar to one another. And Hannah was Samuel's mother. And Hannah came to this place where she had to give up her son. And she cried out to God. And she prayed. And she ended up giving Samuel to the Lord. And we know that Samuel became a powerful prophet that impacted and revolutionized the society in which he lived. Now, the second thing that we discover is that Mary's praises begins with her grateful response to the grace God has shown her as a humble servant of the Lord. So she's this humble servant of the Lord, and she realizes that it's by God's grace that she is able to be blessed in the way she's blessed. And realistically, can you imagine being this young girl and you come to this place where an angel comes to you and says, you are going to have a child. You are going to be with child. You have not been with a man, but you are going to be with child. Basic summary of what would happen in a young girl's mind would be, well, what's going to happen? What will happen to me? My husband will divorce me. I'll get dragged out of the city and stoned. And I won't have a life. Because back then it says, in the scriptures it says, if you commit adultery, what happens? You get stoned, right? Some of you are like, I'm never coming back here. I can't believe that's what the Bible says. I will never, ever believe in the Bible because it says women and men would get stoned if they commit adultery. You know what I'm going to say right now? God takes sin seriously. And I would even say that there's some in here that are falling into that category. And maybe you're not being dragged out of the city and stoned, but God takes stuff serious. And He loves us and cares for us and has compassion for us, but He takes stuff seriously. So Mary was like, oh man, what is going to happen to me? But at the same time, she's like, you know what? I've got to believe in faith, and I've got to be on this spiritual journey with God deep and powerfully, and I'm going to trust Him even with this. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you've fallen apart and you're just like, oh man, I can't do anything but trust you, God? Have you ever been so broken down and beat up and wounded and hurt and in anguish in so many ways that you didn't even know where to turn? And maybe you find yourself in that spot right now. Maybe you're at a place in your life, a juncture in your life where you're frustrated and you're confused and you don't get it. Well, Mary serves an amazing example of what it means to faithfully follow after God despite her surrounding circumstances. And she embraced what God had for her, but not only did she embrace what God had for her, she said, you know what? I'm going to trust in what God says and his promises. Because notice, she didn't talk about the Mosaic law as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes all focused on. They focused on the law, and Mary focused on the promises. The Abrahamic covenant. So it was about Abraham's covenant and that promise that God had in Genesis chapter 12. When God basically says, go to the land I will show you. And then he pronounces like 8 different blessings. You'll be blessed with this, 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 and this. So we see that the third thing we see is in verse 50, Mary's praises broadens, viewing God's grace to her as a reflection of his gracious purpose for his chosen people Israel. So God, she sees beyond her current circumstance, and she sees that, you know what, it's not just about me. It's about all of Israel. It's about what God's doing in my heart, but in everybody else too, and how God's Spirit's moving there. And have you ever come to a place where you're so focused on you that you can't see anything else? Sadly, a lot of us may be at that place right now. And just like that video clip we showed a little earlier, Jesus and Santa Claus, you know, the naughty list and the good and the bad, the naughty and the nice. Well, Mary realized that it wasn't just about me. She said, it's not just about me. It's about God, the Father, and his expansive power and what he can do. So when you find the focus becomes on you, 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 or me, 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 look in that mirror, reflect back, and go, whoa, that's not what it's really about. It's about God and we. It's about God and we and how his Spirit is moving. And it's not about what I should have and what I should do and what I... It's about what God's doing. And that is hard sometimes because we get so focused on me. Mary didn't do that. In verse 51 through 55, Mary's praise focuses on the faithfulness of God to his promises and his purpose, especially his covenant with Abraham and his descendants. So she comes to this place where that's the focus rather than the law or anything like that. And then Mary's praises serves as an engagement, an encouragement. She goes and engages and encourages Elizabeth. Just as Elizabeth's praise was encouraging to her, Mary encouraged her, Elizabeth encouraged her. Now, have you ever had a person in your life that was a super encouraging person and you just enjoyed being around them because you knew they were going to say something encouraging to you? And uplifting. And you just wanted to go see what they would say to you that day. Those are fun people to be around, wouldn't you agree? So, often when someone says something encouraging to you, it's likely you're going to say something encouraging back. Something we often find in our society today is we get focused on the negative stuff and the negative junk. And then we have all this debris and garbage and messed up stuff that happens, and we focus on all that, and we forget about the positive, encouraging, beautiful stuff that's actually going on all around us, and we've lost sight and focus of that. And it can happen easily. I think somebody just said, yeah, I agree with that. But Mary's praises does not, her praise does not focus on the child she will bear, but on the Father who is sending his Messiah. Did you notice that? Her focus didn't, it wasn't on the child she's going to bear, but on the Father that's sending the Messiah. There's a big difference there. She was humble, and she realized that it wasn't about her and what she was going to do, but what God was doing and going to do. What is God doing in your life right now? What is he? How is he active in your life? And if he's not active in your life, then why? A lot of times, there's reasons why God is not active in our life, and it has a lot to do with the direction in which we are projecting our life and the choices that we've made and the decisions that we've made, because we're hindering God's Spirit from moving in our hearts and our minds and cleansing us, and we continue to fall into the same behavior patterns. And God's like, don't you know, you got to break from that and discover the freedom and the power and the beauty of life that only I can bring, but you can't see it. You need to break to be filled. Is it fun to be broken? It's not. I think all of us, one point or another in our lives, have experienced a breaking point where we haven't been able to understand what's going on. But in the midst of that, if you haven't truly gone through that major breaking point, I pray that you're going to experience it. And you may go, jerk. How dare you pray that upon me? Well, the thing is this. Wouldn't you rather discover brokenness in this life than being broken forever, for eternity? Wouldn't you rather be broken and filled with the power of the Spirit than to go through life and not truly break? A lot of times, addicts come to this place where they have to be broken. And they have to be laying face down in a gutter before they experience freedom from that. And sometimes it falls back into the enslavement and entrapment of whatever that may be. Some of us are addicted to things that society wouldn't call an addiction. Selfish ambition, greed, pride, envy. Society wouldn't look at that as an addiction, any of those. But they very well can be. Mary focused more on the results of Christ's second coming than she did the first. Isn't that strange? That doesn't really make much sense. But we see it. We see it in this, that she was focused more on what's going to happen down the line than what was happening even in that moment that was so powerful in her life. Mary's theology has reflected in her in this particular section, sometimes called Mary's Song, sometimes called Magnificat, is vastly superior to that of the scribes and Pharisees who would become pretty much the enemies of Jesus, right? They were people that Jesus would often call out for what they thought and believed and the way in which they lived their lives. And they pretended to be all holy in public. And then in their private lives, they weren't. And even in the public lives, they were doing it for their own glory. I think we all know people like that. Hypocrisy, unfortunately, happens too frequently. So Mary is to be held above all other women as a model. But one of the things that we discover with Mary is what's happened, unfortunately, in some churches today. Mary has been held higher than any other human and almost worshipped, and sometimes worshipped like a god, and prayed to, and directly prayed to, instead of going directly to God. And what happens there is it begins to distort who she actually is and was, who she is to be to us, and who she was then. We don't need to pray to Mary because we can pray directly to God. You see, we have this direct link to God, and you may say, my prayer life, I pray and God doesn't hear me. God doesn't hear my prayers. He doesn't even listen to me. I don't know the last time God listened to me because I don't feel like any of my prayers get answered. Well, God can and does answer prayer. A lot of times, it's not when we want it to happen, but God will do things in his own timing. Sometimes it's to grow us up in our faith. Sometimes it's to allow us to go through a struggle, to endure that struggle, and to discover this amazing peace in the midst of affliction. Sometimes it's to allow us to stretch to a point where we can't do anything else but trust and rely on Him. If you haven't been broken, then it's hard to be filled. I'm going to go through these quick. But there's some beautiful ways in which Mary was an amazing disciple. And I'm going to share these, how Mary was a great disciple. Disciple means learner. That's what it means from the text. When you see the word disciple, it means learner. It means follower. It means someone that's being taught. So here are some ways Mary was a great disciple. Her faith in the Word of God and in her submission to the will of God. The depth of her familiarity with the Word of God, her grasp of the grace of God, and in her gratitude toward God for bestowing grace on her. She had this incredible faith in the Word of God. She believed it to be true. She followed after it and discovered meaning and purpose behind it. And then she had this depth of familiarity with the Word. Do you have a depth of familiarity with the Word? Do you know the Word? Do you know the Bible? You may say, I don't know it that well. That's okay. We're all on a journey. We're at different places, but God desires us to learn and grow and discover Him more and more. And that comes through learning the Scriptures. I would say there's some people in here that have maybe come to this church or been in a church for over 25, 30 years, 40 years, even 50 years. And don't really know the Bible. That makes me sad. It makes me sad because if we don't really know the Bible, then do we really know God? Because God reveals Himself through the Scriptures. A lot of us say, yeah, I believe, I have faith, but what is our belief and faith in? Is it really in God or is it in the God that we've created? Because if we don't know the Bible, then we don't really know God that well. If we're not in the Scriptures and sharpening each other, connecting in community and growing and challenging each other, then we're not really learning and growing. We're not disciples. Mary was. Her grasp of the grace of God and in her gratitude toward God for bestowing grace on her, she understood God's grace. She knew the power of grace. And then her grasp of social implications of the gospel. See, socially she knew the gospel could change lives and revolutionize society. And you may say, how could she? The gospel really didn't come into play yet. She had this amazing sense of what God was going to do. And her grasp of the purpose and promises of God. Can you imagine? You're in this place. You're this young girl. You're a recent teenager. And you are now found to be pregnant with a child. Wow. And you come to this place where she grasped the purpose and the promises of God in the midst of that. And then her evident reflection and meditation on the things of God. She really meditated on what God had to say for her life. Shouldn't we do that? Shouldn't we meditate on the things of God? And then Mary is a model disciple in that her praise was not only a personal expression of worship, but also was edifying to Elizabeth. Is that what your life's like? Like when you go into a room this Christmas season, when some of your relatives you're not going to enjoy being around, when you walk into that room, are they going to go, oh man, here comes such and such. I can't believe I got to spend time with them. Maybe you're going to be the person that they're talking about, or maybe you're talking about that person. What if this last part of being a disciple, that her praise was not only a personal expression of worship, but also was edifying to Elizabeth? What if that person, their name, you say it? No, you don't have to say it. If you said that person's name out loud, well, you probably just said it in your head, didn't you? That really bothers you. Maybe it's not someone in your family, but it's someone at work. Maybe it's someone that you've come across in your life. But whenever you see that person next, when you walk in that room, will they realize that you're different? that your love and compassion is real. And you are now authentic. You're not a phony. You're not a jerk. You're actually somebody that is made new and transformed. How amazing would that be? And what a difference that would make. Yet a lot of times our focus becomes on that other person, when the focus should reflect right back at us. And we should be the ones that are truly being able to love even the unlovable and serving those that don't want to serve us. See, the reality of our faith is completely contrary to what society often wants us to do. And that's okay. Because love looks a lot different. Real love, the agape love, when that's at work in our lives, it completely transforms our heart, our mind, and we begin to discover the purity and the fullness of God. And this Christmas season, may our focus be on Jesus instead of Santa Claus. And may the revolutionary power of a God that saves be upon us so we can truly experience the joy and the hope and the peace that surpasses all human understanding this season and for the rest of our lives. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. The King of Kings is born. Amen? Amen? Father God, we come to you right now, God. Lord, some of us have fallen away from you. Some of us are trying to figure out who you are in our lives. Others of us are really trying to work out what we're supposed to be doing in our lives, God. But God, I just ask that your Spirit would fall upon each and every one of us right now, God. Lord, it may sound foreign to some ears right now, talking about the Spirit and falling upon us. But God, your Spirit, when you left your disciples, you said, I will send the Counselor who will lead you to deeper truth than these. And that is the Spirit, God. Your Spirit can live in us and move in us and transform us, God. And I ask, oh God, that your Spirit would fall upon us, Lord. And some of us that don't believe in you, God, I ask, Lord, that we would come to understand who you are this very day, God. That your Spirit would move in us and would allow our hearts to be open to you, Lord, because we've been standoffish and closed-minded and our hearts have been closed to you and the door has been shut. But Lord, you stand at the door and knock. You knock, Lord. You knock. And if anyone hears your voice and opens the door, it says in the scriptures that you will come and you will eat with them and they with you. And Lord, it means that you desire to have an intimate relationship with us, God. And Father, on this day, just days before we celebrate your first coming, Lord. Lord, there's some that may need to embrace you today, God. And Father, I just ask God, Lord, if there's anyone in here that you would illuminate their minds to you today. If you have never embraced Christ, I ask that you pray this prayer with me today. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I don't know you that well. But I come to you as a sinner. I have been done wrong and I've fallen short. But I believe this day that you, Jesus, came and walked among people and taught. You died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. And your blood cleanses my sins and sets me free. And I believe today that when you died, you were placed in a grave and you rose from the dead and conquered death. So I don't have to face eternal death. And Lord Jesus, I ask that your Spirit will flow in me and through me. And may I be a person after your own heart. Cleanse my heart, God. Cleanse my mind. Purify me. God, may my focus be on you instead of all the other stuff in my life. If you prayed that prayer, I just ask that you look up at me. Right on. Right on. I'm going to pray for you. Lord God, I ask, O Lord, that as those that have prayed to receive you this day, God, I ask, God, that your spirit would just fall upon them and overflow in them, God. Allow your peace and your joy and your mercy and your hope. Lord, I ask that it would flow in all of our hearts, God. Cleanse us, God. Set us free from the bondage and the captivity and the enslavement of sin so we can discover life abundantly in you. And God, allow us to be different. Allow us to be made new. Because now, this day that we've prayed this prayer, we realize that the old is gone and the new has come. And that old junk and debris and the garbage from the past, Lord, doesn't have to be heavy and hinder us anymore. That God, we can now live in the peace and the presence and the joy and the hope that you have for us. Set free from the bondage of the past and live for the present and the future. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. All God's people say it. Amen. Yeah. Let's stand and sing.
Did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has power angels drop? When you kissed your little baby, oh, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The deaf will hear, the dead will live again. Oh, the lame will lead, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is a great.
Close our time with Joy to the World. And some of you that just came to this faith today, this joy. Now, joy is not happiness. Joy is not fleeting. Joy is this overwhelming sense that in the midst of anything in life, we can have contentment and peace because we have the joy that only the Spirit can bring. Amen.